Good morning. Russ, would you pray for our Sunday school hour? Amen. Yeah. Lesson 85 for today. Your memory verse is Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. And if you know your Bibles, the original sin is pride. And why would I say that? Because it was established before you had the Garden of Eden. Amen. And we'll be turning there because that was the sin that turned Lucifer into Satan. And this morning we're looking at that. I want you to open your Bibles to Obadiah, chapter 1. Had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I told them, I says, and you got to remember, I can tell you, I can observe my wife. I have not figured out my wife, all right? And I say it over and over again, two rules. You want to understand marriage, men are simple, women are complicated. I didn't say men are stupid. I said men are easier to read. The emotions don't come in the same, all right? And so, but it's a case that I know that any time Judy and I, because 50 years of marriage, man, anytime there's an issue, generally it's because one of us believes we shouldn't be treated the way we are being treated. We deserve better than that, okay? And continually, and it happens, how many times, I want you to think about it, in your own interaction, whether it be with your spouse, with your children, if the kids were in there, I'd say with their parents, whether it's in the community, wherever it might be, at the workplace, God wants us to approach people in confidence and humility. And we get in trouble when pride gets in the way. And you're going to see here as we look at this morning, the Edomites thought they were invincible. We're going to start at verse 1 of Obadiah, chapter 1. And it says, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. And look at verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived me. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is on high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers... came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on either side, in the day of the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those that did remain in the day of distress. The whole passage I just read to you had to deal with God's response to the line of Esau's reaction towards the children of God. And there's so many things we can see. Getting on, when Esau lost his birthright, if you look at it and you study it out, basically it's because of pride. And you're going to find that that continued in his people. And they thought they were in a secure place. They could not be attacked. You had to climb up. They were built into the cleft of the rock. The caves, their houses were cut into that. So they didn't think they could be approached. That they were above anybody's ability to come at them. God resisteth the, but giveth grace to the humble. They made their Edomites made their home high in the clefts of the rock. It seemed as though they were majestic eagles. They were living as high as the stars. They thought in their hearts that they were secure because of the great fortress and position. You know what happens when someone comes to Christ and when things are they turn around and they're in a place of weakness and they depend upon God. And God, in their humility, because of his mercy, he blesses them and he brings them up and he protects them. And some they have some success. And, you know, pretty soon, you know what they're doing? They're looking at their blessings and not looking at the blesser. And they lose the sight of where it comes from. You know, you can't depend upon the horse in the day of battle, amen? Because safety is of the Lord. And so they thought they were, you know, what happens when you get that way and you feel... When you think about the Pharisees, what did they do? They said, I thank God, because they were religious, and they're supposedly serving God in their religion, but their heart wasn't in praising God and having him in the right position. It was themselves, and they said, I praise God that I am not like other men. I give tithes of all I have. I pray three times a day, and they had all these rules they thought made them better. Had a comment made to me about the sin of somebody who's a Christian is in serious sin. And I said, you cannot lose sight of the fact that when you take your eyes off the Lord, a believer is capable of doing anything that the world does. And you need to remember that when we get ourselves outsized, okay, because my wife... Man, I want to ask you. I already know the answer from Kevin Thomas. Okay. What's the proper size of a bowl of ice cream? The biggest bowl in the house. Okay. My wife, you know, she can have this tiny little... This little cup. And I don't mean a big cup. I mean, well, all I need is just a little taste. Of ice cream. Oh, that's good. I like that. And I go, can I have the rest? And so many times, you know what it is? We think we need more. We think we deserve more. We think that we're, bad English, more better than them. And we lose sight of our Savior. Because Jesus said, if my people are high and lifted up, they will draw all men unto me. No, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the Edomites, you got to remember, that's Jacob's brother. Now Esau learned towards the end, but the attitude of people, you know what it comes down to? If you don't surrender your will to God's will, pride will get each and every one of us. There is a difference between confidence in God, confidence in what He allows us and gives us the capabilities to do, in making in the difference in, with that, and then making it about us. When you make it about you, pride will make you want to be independent of God. Pride will make you pray less, because what happens? In your pride, and when God, because He resisteth the proud, so it seems like then your prayers don't get answered, you turn around your prayer, well, God doesn't listen to me. And then you get to the place where you draw back from praying. The first action of a Christian, no matter what's coming into their life, should be prayer. It shouldn't be a reaction. And so many times, the first thing we do is we react, and when it gets worse, then we pray. Hebrews 11:6. Turn there, I want you to read it to me. My wife tells me, because I turned 69 on Wednesday, so you're going to have to hear me preach on Wednesday, because James is gone. Okay. Kevin is gone. Pastor Kenny is gone. So even if it's my birthday, you're still stuck with me. All right? Okay. Hebrews 11:6. You're going to read it to me. I'm not going to read it to you. So I'm going to give you the quote, and then you guys read it nice and loud. Hebrews 11:6. Yeah. Pride works against faith. Because faith is dependence upon who? On God. Pride is dependence and the desire to be lifted up yourself. So pride doesn't produce faith. I told you the original sin in the Bible. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. In verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most high. And God's answer to him is in verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. There's five I's there. That's the five I wills. Five in your Bible is the number of death. Don't believe me? You go to find when Adam died, the first man died. It was Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. And you can find other things going through this. Now, Bible numerics can break down at different places, but it's pretty well seen. Okay, five is not the number of grace. It is the number of death. And the Edomites' attitude was like Lucifer's. He thought he had an exalted position, so then he could not be affected. The Edomites thought they had an exalted position, an exalted place of safety. You know, the rocks got our back. They got to come at us from the front, and they can't get to us. You know, there's one thing you got to realize when you think you're safe and it's all secure around you. You got to go get food sometime. Doesn't grow on the rock, does it? The only time your provision comes from the rock is when that rock is Christ. And you got to remember that. When we think things, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. It's got to be built upon the right rock. They built their safety and their security and their attitude about themselves upon the rocks, but not upon the God of their fathers. Got to remember, Esau was raised by who? Isaac. Right? And so you turn around and you think about what happened with them. It's like, see, Lucifer had a lofty position, and it caused him to come down. It talks about the king over the children of pride. You can ask, like I said, I talked to somebody who said, men are peacocks. Okay, we like to, I did something helping my son Michael over there, and I used my tractor, and I was scraping, and the boys were working with me, and we put down some dirt, and then I backbladed it, and then we picked more rocks out of it, and Walter came over, and he was digging up rocks, and the boys were digging, we're getting the bigger rocks out of the way, and we're putting soil down and stuff, and I'm using my tractor, and we get it all done, and I said, Judy, when we get done, you got to come over, and you better go ooh and ah. Women have to do, they do stuff again and again and again, and they just, they do it because they're better at multitasking than men. If you don't believe me, there can be exceptions to the rule, but generally women keep a lot more balls in the air than a man does. We're very good at figuring something out, doing the job, and that's it. But you know, we also, do you realize in nature, the prettiest birds are the, because they draw attention to themselves. I like watching bucks strut around with their antlers. The bigger the antler, the bigger their strut. And they grunt louder, and they snort more, and they try to tell everybody else, get out of my way. Don't you see I'm the dominant one? Well, God put that in men to be protectors. It did, but you know, the point of the thing is, it can get in the way when it becomes pride. Because then we go, well, I don't deserve to be treated that way. I don't deserve to be talked to that way. I deserve to have someone notice what I'm doing. Okay? My wife and I, man, I'm going to ask you, my wife and I, we have a rule. Last one out of bed makes the bed. Right? I don't go to sleep well. I'm up late at night. She goes to bed by 9, 9:30. She's out of bed by 6 all the time. And I don't have a job I have to get up for that way anymore. I have to make the bed. Don't you feel sorry for me? Yeah. She had a sign in our kitchen, I've told you before, it says, no man was ever shot washing the dishes and making the bed. But we think we have to have attention drawn to it. I turn around and hey, Dave and Angie, they come over, they mow our lawn. We're, my wife and I are spoiled. Part of the thing he does for us, does for the church. And I'll go, Judy, do you see how good a job that guy did out there? I'm bragging on someone, and it wasn't me because he's another male. And you go, wait a minute, think about it. We like to have stuff seen. We like to have that. That's part of women, you want to make your husband feel loved? Appreciate what he does. Okay? When you do that, just be careful, men, that you don't just take for granted what she does. Because that helps them to see you appreciate everything they do. I don't wear a shirt to church that isn't ironed. I haven't ironed a shirt for myself in 2 years. Can I iron? I was raised in a home with 8 kids. You did your own clothes. You washed your own clothes. You ironed your own clothes. You got ready for that. But I look at different things, and the idea of not letting pride get in the way in our relationship, she's shaking her head and she's smiling. When one of us gets in a tiff, it's because we don't believe we deserve to be what? Treated that way. And when we think we're secure in some place, and then that security is broken, that can be devastating. That's why it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen? You still with me? This whole lesson is just basically on pride. You'll notice here that pride goes before destruction. The Edomites win against God's chosen people. That's in verse 10, 11. And 11 of Obadiah. I said chapter 1. If you can find chapter 2, you got a different Bible. Okay? And he says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off for how long? Find an Edomite. Okay, it's like trying to find a Philistine. What you had here is what Obadiah is prophesying and preaching against, is when the Babylonians came to took Jerusalem, Edom did nothing to help them. They just stood there and they became as the Babylonians would do. They were anxious. They wanted to get their part of what God had given to his chosen people. You ever see people who line up to get stuff? Families have been split over inheritances, lining up to get stuff. My mother used to say, if it's not yours, don't worry about it. If you get it, thank God for it. But I've watched families split over, well, I deserve what? More. They wanted more. Genesis chapter 12. I do not believe you can be a true Bible believer and not want to support Israel. I'm not saying Israel is perfect, but you're looking at a country that has to defend itself all the time. They are a wary people. They are a military mindset people because their life depends upon it. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will what? That bless thee, and I will curse him that, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be. This is not in the notes, but if you wanted to study the reason that America was able to end World War II was because of Jewish scientists. Some of the most famous doctors and researchers are Jewish people. You need to do a history of how that little nation and that small, one of the smallest people groups in the entire history of the world, what God has used to bring through them that has been a blessing to us. And I've had people, you've got to remember, I came from a Roman Catholic background. It is not natural for Roman Catholics to want to support Jews. It's not natural for them. Because they look at the Jews as somebody who did what? Crucified their Savior. And that was in my family. It was ingrained. Maybe it's not in yours, and I know there's a lot more people who are backslidden Catholics than good Catholics today. But there was an attitude about it. That's why they're the most persecuted people on the face of this earth. God says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Edom didn't stand with Israel. What did God do to him? There's a lot of things going on. People are talking about with this coming election, border security, the economy. Single greatest issue is going to be what this country does for or not for Israel. You don't believe me? Mark it down. Because I know I'm right in this one because I can support it with God's word. Many times they deal with people and say, I don't want to be right. Because if you do this, this is what's going to happen. In this one, I want to be right. And you need to be aligned with them, and we should never join Israel's enemies. The idea of sending money to Hamas is suicidal in God's eyes. Now, I'm off my preaching box there, or whatever you want to call it. We should not be like the Edomites. You should learn from your Bible. There's an old saying that says, the one thing men learn from history is that they don't. God tells you over and over again, for his children, he's not looking to judge you, he's looking to bless you. But he says, to bless you, you got to obey me. To obey me, you got to know what I'm telling you to do. And once you know it, it's not up for debate. It's do it. To obey is better than sacrifice. You can also learn from this and apply it to what goes on in other people's lives. You know, we can learn that when another Christian is in trouble, it's our duty to help and provide aid for them. To let us go out of their way to be there for them. We can get so caught up in our lives and what we need and what we deserve, we don't know what's taking place. And as a pastor, you want to know one place I could fail? It would be not being there enough. But that's something that's required of every one of us. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, restore such a one in the spirit of pride? No, a spirit of meekness. Knowing ye yourselves likewise also could be tempted. Okay? We need to be able to give sometimes material help and spiritual encouragement. Integrity is not only knowing what is right, but acting upon it. Don't you wish there was greater integrity with people today? I grew up at a time, and anybody my age group from about 60 on up to about 85, depending most of the time, you're in a country, if you lived around here, no one locked their doors. The neighbor's kids could run into the house, open the cupboard, get a glass and get some water, get a drink. In my house, my mother would be giving them cookies and saying, honey, child, you want something more? And then go back out and play. People today are installing what? Cameras. And they have to watch it. And they turn around and I said something to Tony and said, one of the problems that they're closing down a lot of the brick-and-mortar stores, Target and the other ones in the cities all around the country, is because you get in trouble when you stop the thief. You can get fired. Okay, conversation with Carla yesterday about that. You're not to stop people when they steal from you anymore. And an employee is violating company rules. When you interfere with people coming out of your store with a shopping cart full of stuff, and you get fired for trying to protect. It used to be, if you didn't stop them, you'd get fired. Right? Our country's backwards. So they're closing the brick. I said, well, at least, you know, when you have stuff shipped by Amazon, the other things like that, you haven't got to worry about that, except, no, what are they doing? They set the box on your deck, and somebody drives by and sees the box there, and now you got to have a Ring camera because they're stealing the stuff off your porch. How many remember when we were having more of the ice storms and stuff? And when my brother and sister-in-law lived with my mother down at the house down at where I grew up in, North End of Fairhaven, they'd seen the generator setup I had where you could, you know, the power goes off, you flip the main breaker because I don't have a Generac, and you plug in the generator, back feed the house, and start it up, and away you go. Well, he goes, can you help me do that, Bryant? So I ran the plugs into their service box and brought the plugs outside, put the breaker in, and got them all set to do that. But he didn't have a good place to put the generator outside. So he'd chain it to the front porch. They all went to work, came back, and somebody cut the chain and stole a $1,500 generator. In Fairhaven. You know what the problem is? We thought they were too safe because of where they lived. There's supposed to be integrity. And judgment starts at the house of God. Amen? Is your word your bond? It's supposed to be. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let me see here. Look at verse 30. Jesus is teaching here. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And then came a state senator, or a congressman, or a senator, or the governmental staff. No. But a certain Samaritan, a Samaritan is what? Who is a Samaritan? He's a half-breed Jew. He's not accepted by the Gentiles. He's not accepted by the Jews because he's half-breed in between. And Gentiles didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like who? Okay? So he's a Samaritan. And as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, now how much did he just give? 2 days' wages. In this day and age, they have to give 2 weeks' wages. To the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. The priest and the Levite knew what to do, but did nothing. The Samaritan, who was looked down upon by others, is the one who stepped up to help. If my wife's broken down on the shoulder of the road and she needs to have a tire change, of course we have AAA for her, I don't care what they look like. If they're coming really with a heart of compassion and help, I want someone to help her. You ever carried grocery for an older person? Maybe you ought to. You ever stopped and picked up stuff for them? Maybe you ought to. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is the sin. Integrity is not only seeing what is the right thing to do, it's doing the right thing. Edom's pride produced selfishness. They wanted in on the downfall of Israel, what they could gain out of it. In their eyes, Israel's loss was their gain. They had eyes for themselves. Okay, and again, what's the center letter in the word pride? I. It's self-centered, it's selfish, and it's egotistical. They told you, most marriage problems can be resolved by getting rid of that. I didn't say everyone, I said most marriage problems. Most family problems can be get rid of by that. They enjoyed the fall of another. Obadiah, again, verse 12, but thou shouldest not have looked on in the day thy brother, in the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on whose stuff? Their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. They rejoiced over the fall of Israel. Go to Psalm 137. Did I mark it here? Psalm 137. Look at verse 7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. They cheered the Babylonians when they went to destroy it. Okay? Go to Book of Proverbs. Proverbs 24. Read verse 17 to me. Proverbs 24 and verse 17. You ready? Proverbs 24 and verse 17. Yeah. Remember years ago, early on when one of the first times I ever met Sam and Kathy Gipp, we'd had him in for the meetings when Pastor Christian was the pastor. You got to know him. And Sam's about as direct about things as you can be. And very smart man, very, you know, and he can be sarcastic and he can poke fun. I like watching videos of people who just messed up with him. You know, you laugh, you know, it's kind of like that slapstick kind of comedy and stuff. But you know what I found out about him? When he finds about something going wrong, or maybe there's been a death, or maybe there's been a problem with a man and his family who attacks Sam and Kathy for his stands. Because by King James Bible, believers should be the most gracious people, and that's what he said. Brian, we got to be the most gracious people because we're in the crosshairs. Because they think we're the most judgmental. And when he'd hear about something going wrong or something happening to a family, he'd write them a check and send it to them. They'd been attacking him publicly. He would send them some money to help privately. He didn't go around and say, here, look at this, this, and this. I had a chance to talk to somebody one time. I met at a meeting, and he says, you know, you didn't used to like that man. I used to talk against him. It was a pastor from another church here in the state. Because we can hang around King James guys, but we're not all the same King James. All right? That's just that's the way that works. And he goes, and he was attacking him. And then he said, something happened in my church, and I lost over half my congregation. He said, there was a check for $500 in the mail from Sam Gipp. You know what that means? He's not rejoicing in the trouble, the stress, the problems of someone else. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. Pride will make you insensitive towards others. You know, Edom probably was saying, we're never going to be as weak and vulnerable is Jerusalem. Look at, we're high in the rocks. It's easy to think better of yourself when someone around you is falling, isn't it? Be careful about that. Be very careful about that. Turn to Proverbs 16. Your memory verse is what? Verse 18. Read it out loud to me. Before I was saved, I used to hear that verse misspoken. The old saying was, a haughty spirit goeth before what? Destruction. Or pride goeth before a fall. No, it says pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Back to Obadiah. We're coming back to Proverbs 13 in a minute, so if you want to keep a finger there, you can. As I said, you should help others instead of using them as a stepping stone. My dad worked long enough at General Electric, back when it used to be Electronics Parkway. General Electric at one point employed over 50,000 people in Syracuse. The single largest employer in central New York. Carrier at one point had over 20,000 people. And they paid more. And I can remember my father saying, the idiot, sometimes a GE would look down at other guys who are working in small companies and stuff because they didn't get the same protection. My father started as a regular employee without a college education, but he was a very smart man. And he worked his way up through, and he was a supervisor over some other foreman. And he helped guys get promotions. And he helped them do different things. There's things, I preached a message, things my father taught me. Some of them good, some of them bad, because I'm going to be honest about it. But he helped other people advance. And pretty soon, some of the people he helped advance were now over the top of him. And he had one man who told him, no matter whatever happens, I remember what you've done for me. And I'll help you. He had another guy make the same promise. When my father had his heart attack and couldn't continue to do his job, he needed something changed. He called both men. And the one said, Lou, what can I do to help you? You know, I'm down in Portsmouth, Virginia. I don't work in electronics. He didn't work electronics. He got advanced. He moved up. He had a superintendent position. And he says, you ready to move? I'm going to give you a parallel job down here. I'll do whatever. I'll help you move. I'll help you do this, whatever you need. The other man who was still in Syracuse said, what have you done for me lately? There's the difference between integrity and pride. It's not, what have you done for me lately? Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. They became hinderers of God's chosen people who were just trying to get through the persecution that's going on to them. Christian, we are not to be hinderers of others. Amen? Proverbs 13:10, I said that's the other one we're going to go to, and that says what? Only by cometh contention. If there is contention in your home, if there's contention with your children, if there's contention in your workplace, if there's contention in your community, God tells you it only, that means no other way. It only happens by what? Pride. You need to put yourself in a place where God can bless you. God resisteth the proud, but giveth unmerited favor. You know who I want to favor me? giveth grace to the humble. Contention means arguing, conflict, fighting. You know how you can be humble? It starts off by having a close, short account with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you take an account of every wrong thought you have during a day, and I'm telling you, I have to do this. Every wrong word, I have to do this. Yeah, it's because my mother taught us this, and Judy used to tell the boys, you make sure that you tell God you're sorry at night. Make sure that you confessed it and asked for forgiveness so that you can what? What's that, Jude? You see what I'm saying with that? If they can learn to do that, it'll help you stay humble. I don't spend a lot of time judging other people's problems, sins, weaknesses, whatever it is, because I'm too busy trying to make sure that I can stay right with Him. And I realize, like the Apostle Paul, and I'm not comparing myself to the Apostle Paul, but I'm comparing to what he said. He said, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. Romans 7. If you start thinking a little bit too much of yourself, you need to go read Romans 7. For that which I would do, I do not. But that which I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am. Turn to James chapter 5. There's something missing among believers because we're so afraid of people, because we know our old natures, that people, instead of being ready to humbly help us, are going to be judging us. James chapter 5. Now, I've claimed these promises. I've anointed people before. I've seen people healed when they weren't supposed to be. All right? We're going to start a little bit above it. I'm going to start at verse 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I've done that multiple times. And what does it say? And the prayer of what? Shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall what? And then it says, confess your faults to the Lord only. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you know how many people are afraid to do that? Because they're afraid someone's going to stand in judgment of them. You're in here this morning. The only one you answer to is your Savior. The other ones are supposed to be one beggar helping another beggar find some more bread. Amen? Amen. Deep down inside, sometimes we have a desire to watch something happen to those who don't believe in Christ. And the only thing we should want to happen to them is for them to come to Christ. Because God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Only by pride cometh contention. Pride goeth before, a haughty spirit before the fall. All God's people said, amen.